Picture the thing you've always wanted to learn. Now, picture learning it from the person who's literally the best at it in the world. That's what you get with Masterclass. This year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/ratchet. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/ratchet. Masterclass.com/ratchet.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and those who don't identify as either, you are listening to Ratchet and Respectable. I'm still in Ghana. If you listened to last episode on Tuesday, I was supposed to catch a flight on Wednesday to Cape Town. That didn't happen. The night before I was supposed to leave, Tuesday, as I was recording, I got an email from the airline saying my flight had been canceled and then rebooked. And I was like, oh, really? They rebooked me on a flight. I was leaving 45 minutes later, which was fine. But then I had a 12-hour layover in Nairobi, and I was like, absolutely not. I like Nairobi enough. I've been a few times. But with a U.S. passport, you have to have a visa before you enter Nairobi. They don't do visa on arrival. So best case scenario would have been me sitting at the airport for 12 hours. And I was like, absolutely not. So I was like, what are my options? So I pushed my flight by a couple days so I could get on the same flight that I was supposed to have on Wednesday and have a 2-hour layover instead of 12. Unhappy, ungood, but fixed for free. I called my landlady in a panic. She actually lives in Saudi Arabia because I wanted to move my flight, but I also wanted to make sure I had a place to stay. If I moved my flight, I didn't want to pack all my stuff and then have to go check into a hotel and blah, blah, blah. I might have preferred to sit in an airport with a long layover rather than do that. I hit her up to say, like, my flight got canceled and I would need to stay in the apartment for an extra couple days. And, you know, of course, I'll pay and all of that. But, you know, if it's not booked, I'd like to stay. She said, don't worry about it. You've been an excellent tenant. You got it. And I was like, are you sure? She's cool, and I very much like her as a person. Like, usually when I leave, as in when I check out of my apartment, she drives me to the airport. Actually, I think when I first came to Ghana, like as in to move, she picked me up from the airport too. This is entirely not part of the lease, but she's really dope. We have a very respectful relationship, but I'm also very clear that, you know, this is a business. Like, the place I call home is her rental property, her investment property. But she was like, no, don't worry about it. You got it. Really? Yeah. So after that, everything fell into place. Like, I called the place in Cape Town, said I can't make it for 2 days. I love South Africans who work in customer service. Their response to everything is, with pleasure. You know you inconveniencing them. They make it sound like they're so happy to do it. Like, I appreciate that. So everything fell into place. The airline, I was like, I'm not doing that layover, so I need you to move me to Friday. It took forever. I kept asking because they had me in the chat. They don't have like an actual hotline to call. So I was in the chat and it was taking like 15 minutes to like rebook. And I was like, hello, are you still there? And they were like, yes, madam, please give us an opportunity to fix the issue. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm accustomed to American customer service. I think I got pushy again. when I was home for 5 weeks. We're pushy as a culture. It's not just a me thing. Just as a whole culture, Americans tend to be very pushy. But yeah, so everything's taken care of. God willing, I get on a flight tonight and I head to South Africa. I'm glad I got to stay an extra couple days because there were some things I needed to take care of. One of my friends has a young baby. She's 10 months now. Whenever I'm at home, if I go anywhere that has baby clothes, I always go swing by the section for little girls. Baby clothes, in general, are relatively cheap. I mean, all things considered. Some people might say, like, what I pay for her dresses is a little expensive. But the dresses are so cute. And she's so cute in them. And the baby has a very active social life. The last set of dresses I bought, one of them she wore for a photo shoot. And then the other one she wore when her parents took her to Jubilee House. That's Ghana's equivalent of the White House. But they were visiting as a family and they put one of my dresses on the baby. And I was like, I am the proudest auntie. This is all auntie ass. I just want to see pictures of my pretty girl in the pretty dresses. You got to start them young with the dress thing. You got to groom them in like a healthy into dresses way. Not for anything else that grooming be associated with. Maybe that wasn't the best word to use when talking about children. My bad. Introduce her to dresses. That's what I was trying to say. I hadn't got a chance to see my friend or the baby and drop the dresses off. So I took care of that yesterday. I got my nails redone. I found a nail spot here. Everyone at the spot is specifically amazing. But there's this one guy who's just out of this world. I showed him a picture of what I wanted. Like, my nails are, it looks like there's gold frames on all of them. But the design is a little different from each of them. I'll post a picture of it, I guess. I showed him the picture and asked, can you do this? And he kind of looked at me like I was dumb and was like, yes, madame. And did. It looks better than the picture, I think, but whatever. But yeah, and I got to hang out with DeVita one last time. We went to Kozo, which is one of my favorite restaurants. I have several here. And then also, there's no resolution with the condo. Many of you wrote in and was like, girl, if the condo is not the dream, then don't get the condo. What are you doing? Like, this is the advice you would give to us if we were talking about this. And I was like, I know, but I have like there's some emotional and psychological attachments to this condo. But I had a conversation at least with the realtor about my anxiety about the condo. And I know her job is to like to talk me into it. But I think at least having the conversation and broaching. And I told her flatly because she hit me this morning and she said, do you want to have a conversation about the new layout? You know, because you've been quiet. I just want to know what you're thinking. And I was just honest with her. And I was like, my hesitation is not so much about the layout. The idea that of all the things that I thought about that could go wrong with this condo, or could come up, I wouldn't say wrong per se, but all the issues that could come up, the layout being changed wasn't one of those things. And I just kind of wonder, like, if that's what happens at the beginning of the process, then where do we go down the line? And I was like, the way I got my life built up and all the things that I need to accomplish in the next 18 months, I can't be dealing with like house anxiety of this level on top of everything else. Now, I told her, to be honest, like, I understand the way things operate here is, especially as a foreigner, like buying a space, you're usually building it from the ground up. Like, I get it, but I also, you know, I'm not accustomed to it. And I was like, this may be too far out of my comfort zone. I thought I could do it. Now that I'm doing it, I'm like, I need to know what my space looks like. Some people just want a space and it's an investment property, but I plan to use this space as my home. And so I need to know what my home is going to look like. Like, I have a vision for how I want to live. I have a vision for how I want to entertain. I have a vision for how I want to decorate. And changing the layout of the apartment changes that vision that I have for my home, for my life. So, you know, it may not be a big deal to other people, but it's a big deal to me. And it's my money I'm spending. So we need to figure that out. She's like, do you want to talk about it? And I was like, I don't. I'll give you a decision by Monday. So that's the timeline that I've given myself. I'm not focused on the condo right now. I'm focused on making sure my life is packed up and I'm able to move to Cape Town and I don't leave anything behind. That's where my focus is right now. I can't even, you know, really think about the condo. I'm thinking about logistics and then also getting this episode in and meeting my demands with my production company and things like that. It's not this. So, yeah, I would like it to work out. I do like Ghana. I think it's an amazing country. I think Accra is an amazing city. I think it's a very smart and worthy investment overall. I'm buying the place to live in, but also it's a house. I'm buying it. I want it to appreciate. I want it to make money. I'm very committed to the idea of having a place here, and I want it sooner than later, but also I want it to be right. And I don't know if I'm asking too much, and that's fine if I am, but I don't know if this situation is quite right. I think the fact that I have to question it means it's not. And then for some reason, I don't want to pull out. Ah, I'm like a dude in good pussy.
No one's really sure what the economy is doing right now. It's best to start saving if you can. Cut back on expenses. For example, I used to spend over $100 a month on streaming services. Netflix, Disney Plus, Prime, you name it. But since I started using ExpressVPN, I've been able to cut back and save so much every month. Let me explain. See, all these streaming services like Netflix actually have thousands of more shows than you think. You just don't see them all because they give you different shows depending on your country. So what you see on Netflix here is completely different to what someone in Italy or South Korea sees. But using the ExpressVPN app, I can change my online location. ExpressVPN has over 90 countries to choose from. So every time I run out of stuff to watch, I just switch to another country to unlock new shows. Right now, I'm watching all my favorite shows on American Netflix. It's not on Netflix here in Ghana, but with ExpressVPN, just tap one button to change my country to America, refresh the page, and it shows up. I don't need to pay extra for Apple TV or Prime just to watch it. And on top of that, I can even use ExpressVPN to get discounts. Some services cost less in other countries. For example, if you buy Netflix from Argentina, it costs a fraction of the price. At less than $7 a month, ExpressVPN pays for itself and so much more. It's a no-brainer. So if you want to get way more shows and save money while you're at it, go to expressvpn.com/ratchet. Don't forget to use my link so you can get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/ratchet. expressvpn.com/ratchet to learn more. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. You know that I am a huge advocate of therapy. I think everyone should get some, even the people who don't think anything is wrong. Think of it like the same way you would a physical checkup. You go for a mental one too. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. I love how easy BetterHelp makes it to get professional help. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ratchet today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ratchet.
There's been lots of unpleasant situations this week. I told you last episode, because it was a bit of a slow week. I do acknowledge that there is one big topic that I could be addressing. Several of you have DM'd me to ask, like, are you going to talk about? I am not. There is a large story in the zeitgeist about Black media and their portrayals, their current portrayals of Black women, one in particular. Here is my full and complete statement on that. I say shut the fuck up is free so often that I once put it on a t-shirt. I should probably reissue those with the next Ratchet and Respectable drop because they sold really well. People seem to be very drawn to the concept of shut the fuck up is free. I am going to practice what I preach and shut the fuck up. Why? Because it's free. That's all I got. So many of you DM'd me about watching Jerrod Carmichael's new show. If you're a regular listener, you know how much I love Rothaniel. I think that was his last comedy special. If not his last, dare I say his most popular. I didn't know who he was before Rothaniel. People were like, are you serious? D, he had a network TV show. He's had other specials. And I was like, did he? Didn't know. But Rothaniel was a game changer for me. I watched it and thought he is brilliant. So I was all in about him. And then obviously this new show comes out and it's a reality series about his post. He refers to it as coming out. I was told that the proper term is welcoming in. However he feels comfortable describing his situation. I'll go with that. I'm not really into reality TV like that. Only because I just don't feel like it's honest. Just the idea of saying this is reality when it's so heavily, not even just edited, but produced and scripted to create so many of the scenarios that you see aired, it just doesn't resonate with me. So I didn't have plans to watch it because it's just not the medium I prefer. But so many people were like, have you watched this show? Have you watched this show? And they kept sending me this clip with Jerrod Carmichael confrontation, but not in an angry way. He has a confrontation with Tyler, the creator. Yes, that Tyler, the musician, the rapper. Apparently, Jerrod Carmichael and Tyler, the creator, were besties. And Jerrod Carmichael developed a crush on him. And he expressed it to him, to which Tyler's response was to call him a stupid bitch. And then they never really talked about that exchange until now on camera for HBO. God himself would have had to descend from heaven, walk into my living room, and be waiting there for me when I came home and said, Demetria, I need you to do something. I would have needed a personal in-person visit from God himself to get me to talk to somebody who I told I had a crush on them and their response was stupid bitch. We're just never going to speak again. I don't care that we defined ourselves as besties. At the point that I pour my soul out to you and your response is to call me a stupid bitch, you really never liked me from jump. But for whatever reason, likely producers, and for the sake of drama, Jerrod Carmichael decides that he and Tyler, the creator, should have this conversation about his crush and Tyler's response on camera for HBO. And it goes as absolutely horrible as you would expect. Jerrod Carmichael has another very vulnerable, like, you know, I said this to you and then your response was, and Tyler was like, I don't even remember what my response was. This big moment in your life where you confess your affections for someone, their response is to call you a stupid bitch. And then when you bring it up again, they act like they have no idea what you're talking about. Or maybe they genuinely don't remember because something that was such a huge deal to you is a complete non-factor for them. If God himself, again, had personally asked me on a personal visit to do this, and the first thing Tyler, the creator, said was, I don't know what you're talking about, or I don't remember, I'd be like, we're done. Scene. That's why I'm built for reality TV. I still have shame, and I think a degree of it is healthy for everyone. I don't want to embarrass myself. This scene was so cringy for me. That wasn't the only one. We're going to talk about the other one, too. That scene was so cringy to me that I had complete secondhand embarrassment. I had to pause the scene and like let my nerves calm down before I could continue. Because it does continue. He doesn't get up and walk out or kick Tyler out or anything. He tries to have an adult conversation with someone who is very much committed to not acting like an adult. This man, again, pours his whole feelings out and says, you know, things were different with us and I want them to be the same, essentially. And Tyler is just kind of like, yeah, they were different. Like he doesn't give a fuck. His whole demeanor is, I don't care. Jerrod Carmichael, again, this is like after two breaches, is trying to pour his feelings out for this man. At this point, they've ordered dinner. It's arrived. Jerrod Carmichael is eating like a civilized adult. Tyler, the creator, is eating. I've seen babies in high chairs consume food with more grace. He eats like he has no home training. I should also add on top of this, let me rewind, because it makes it actually even worse. Jerrod Carmichael confesses his feelings. Tyler, the creator, calls him a stupid bitch. They don't speak for a while. Jerrod Carmichael is headed to the Emmys. He texts Tyler if he wants to be his plus one to the Emmys. And Tyler's like, nah, I got plans. The nigga don't like you. Not even as a friend, bruh. He don't like you. And then after that is when he invites him to come do this sit down on camera to talk about him having this crush and this exchange. After the Emmys thing, even if God asked, in the personal invite, he's traveled down from heaven. He is sitting on my couch and says, D, I need a favor. What do I get in return? I can't just do this for free, God. It got to be something. Is it the condo in Ghana? Acts right? Like, what is it? What is it? That's not the worst part of it. This is the clip that everybody keeps sending me. I watched the show. Before we even get to the Tyler sit down, Jerrod Carmichael is in LA for the Emmys. He's staying in a hotel. He's bored. He's heartbroken. He wants to entertain himself. So he goes on Grindr and invites all these different men over to his hotel. And the way it's cut for the show, it seems like it's back to back to back. Like he's invited a whole bunch of people over, almost like literally a casting couch, because they're sitting on the couch in his hotel. One of the men, and not the man that's later shown that stayed the night with him, he invites this guy over. It's a white guy, and I think that's notable to mention. He's sitting on one side of the couch. The white guy's sitting on the other. Derek Carmichael takes the man's leg and takes the man's calf and takes the man's foot and starts sucking on the man's toes like he's an uncle eating chicken wings at the cookout. He is sucking on this man's toes like they lemon pepper wings. I was appalled. I was appalled. I wrote about it on Facebook. One of my friends said, "Are you appalled because he's gay?" I don't give a fuck if he's gay. If it was a black man sucking some white lady's feet on camera, I would say the same thing. If it was a black woman sucking some white lady's feet on camera, I would say the same thing. The gay ain't got nothing to do with it. The race, however, I'm like, sir, why are you debasing yourself on television this way? If he was sucking another black man's feet, I would just be talking about his kink and be like, you know, it's a little something for everybody. Sir, you know the optics. You know the optics that you're playing with. You are doing this primarily for a white American audience. Why are you on TV looking like somebody's black sex slave sucking on this white man's feet? It was just such a submissive visual. Just your black ass sitting here sucking some white man's feet? Bruh. If that's what you into, that's fine. Do it behind closed doors. You know, I got real loose boundaries when it comes to people and sex and what they're into. We've talked about this many times on here. I'm like, is everyone of age? Is everyone consenting? I don't ask what the sex of the people involved are. I don't ask what the gender is. I don't ask if it's in public. I don't ask if it's being filmed. I say, are they of age and are they consenting? I don't even ask if they single people. Are they of age? Are they consenting? That's usually all that's required for me. If they are of age, if they are consenting, I usually be like, well, then that's their business. This, my respectability politics are flaring. Or is it my black dignity is flaring? Some shame. People need some shame. Just a little. And I'm like, was this your idea to do? Or is this production's idea? Did somebody say, you know what would be crazy? If you suck on this white man's feet. Bruh. You ain't got no self-dignity. Not an ounce. But then actually the answer is no. Fast forward until he gets to Tyler, the Creator. Anybody with a bit of dignity wouldn't do that on camera. Not the sucking white man's feet thing. The vulnerability in trying to get somebody who clearly doesn't like you to like you. I think we've all done that. Or let me speak for myself. I have done that. Actually, I'm not even going to tell that story. That shit hurt. And the thing was, he hit me. Things didn't work out. And I made peace with that. And I was like, all right, bet. And then he heard I was in his city. He reached out and was like, where you at? What you doing? Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to come get you, which is usually used to happen. I mean, for like 20 years when I was in his city. Fine. All right. I'll meet up with you. We go out. And he was like, I just wanted to talk about, you know, the way things, you know, ended because, you know, you seemed really upset and that wasn't my intent and blah, 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 blah. And he was like, you know, can we just have like a heart to heart? Okay, let's have a heart to heart. You're specifically asking you, and you've known me for 20 years. You know, it's very difficult for me to be very vulnerable. And then I am very vulnerable in this moment. And I say what I felt and what I was thinking and how I was blindsided and how that hurt me. And his response was, you're a really good writer. Huh? And he was like, no, I get why you do what you do. Like, you just have like a really eloquent way with words. Nigga, you just asked me to pour my fucking heart out to you. I did. Based on our long ass friendship forever and a day, and your response to me is you have a great way with words? Fuck you. I told him to take me home. And when I got out the car, I said, I hope you have a beautiful life. I hope you accomplish everything that you set out to do and all your dreams come true. He says, what does that mean? I said, it means exactly what I said. And I got out the car. I ain't spoke to him in 3 years. Yeah. I get it. I just don't get why you film it. And even if you filmed it, why'd you air it? Like, bruh, you have no shame? Like, none? I guess not. It's riveting TV. I'm going to watch episode 2. But at the same time, I'm looking at you like, you need more therapy, friend. I genuinely mean that. I'm not saying that in a judgmental way. I'm not trying to, like, weaponize therapy. I genuinely think, friend, You need help. You need some help.
Hey there, overwhelmed foodies. Are you drowning in a sea of meal kit options, feeling like you're in a bad dating game where every contestant looks the same? Fear not, because amidst the chaos, there's one shining star worth your culinary affection. Home Chef is not just another fish in the meal kit sea. They're the gourmet catch you've been dreaming of. Say goodbye to swiping left on lackluster meals and swipe right for the one brand that'll make your taste buds swoon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes, conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, or oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, Home Chef has you and the entire family covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. And not only is it convenient, but economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. I love how easy Home Chef makes it to have tasty meals that meet my dietary needs. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals, plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/ratchet. That's homechef.com/ratchet for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/ratchet. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert. Picture the thing you've always wanted to learn. Now, picture learning it from the person who's literally the best at it in the world. That's what you get with Masterclass. This year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. A lot of people just talk about improving. Masterclass helps you actually do it. Masterclass offers over 180 world-class instructors. So whether you want to master negotiation with Chris Voss, think like a boss with Martha Stewart, or create outside the lines with Issa Rae, Masterclass has you covered. With Masterclass, you get unlimited access to intimate one-on-one classes with the world's best. I love Masterclass. There are over 200 classes to pick from, with new classes added every month, like Issa Rae's class, which made me think about new platforms I can create on. Also, every new Masterclass membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/ratchet. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/ratchet. masterclass.com/ratchet.
I didn't look up good black news this week. I've been a little busy. There are two big stories that we do need to talk about. This one, I heard about it when I was editing last week's episode, but I didn't have a source. It was too big to talk about without a confirmed source. But NBC ran a story this morning, and it's really weird the way NBC positioned the story. I guess because they're more a general audience, translation white, as opposed to black people. But the headline is, Sean Diddy Combs' son accused of sex assault in lawsuit that also names music mogul as defendant. A black publication would have just said Christian Combs accused of sexual assault in new lawsuit, which also names his father as defendant. We know who Christian is. I guess NBC's audience doesn't know who Christian Combs is. They're more focused on the Diddy angle than the Christian angle. When I first heard about this, I was like, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. I've said this before about the kids, as in Diddy's kids. We watched them grow up. I probably have a soft space for him because I remember what he looked like as a baby. Let's get into this NBC story. I haven't found the lawsuit yet, but NBC is pretty thorough. They have the exclusive. But this story is really oddly written. Even though Christian is the person being sued, the story doesn't talk about Christian until literally the fifth paragraph. First graph, Sean Diddy Combs, who is a subject of a federal sex trafficking investigation, has been named as a defendant in a new lawsuit that alleges his son sexually assaulted a woman while she was working on a yacht the music mogul had chartered for a trip at the end of 2022. all one sentence. Who is your editor? My God. Then it says the allegations, the latest wave of lawsuits against Combs for sexual assault, sexual trafficking, and engaging in other criminal activity. He has denied all the allegations. Still, not mentioning Christian, who is the target of the lawsuit. Diddy is being sued for providing the yacht. From what I've read, she doesn't mention Diddy in any other way. Everything that she described and her descriptions are awful. Oh, trigger warning. I always put it in the captions, and then people are like, we don't read the captions of the podcast. Like, we just see that it's there and we start listening. So trigger warning. I'm going to read and we are going to discuss horrible depictions of sexual abuse and assault. This suit was filed Thursday in Los Angeles County Superior Court. A woman alleges that Christian Combs, 26, sexually assaulted her while she was working on a boat charter that had been, quote, sold as a wholesome family excursion, but turned into, quote, a hedonistic environment. Paragraph 5. This is when we get to Christian. Christian Combs is accused of sexual assault, sexual harassment, and infliction of emotional distress in the lawsuit. His father is being sued, we just talked about this, for premises liability as the person who chartered the yacht and aiding and abetting his son in the alleged assault. Aiding and abetting, is that for the spiked liquor? We'll get to that. NBC spoke to the woman's attorney, Tyrone Blackburn. It's a black as fuck name. Have we heard this name before? Is he representing somebody else? Remember I made the comment about a lawyer having a black ass name on a previous lawsuit we were talking about related to Diddy? But Tyrone's comments were like father, like son. It gives us no joy or pleasure in filing this suit against Christian Combs, who has clearly adopted his father's pattern and practice of depravity. The English major in me just leapt a little inside at his alliteration. It's not the point. In this lawsuit, the woman alleges that Christian Combs drugged and sexually assaulted her. She included transcriptions of audio clips that she states are evidence of her denying his advances as he gropes her. The suit states that the clips were recorded by a producer in the studio. You know who the producer is? The other guy that's suing Diddy. The woman was 25 at the time of alleged assault. She said she worked as a steward providing dinner and drink service on the yacht from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. and witnessed partying and drug use between, quote, a constant rotation of suspected sex workers and celebrities. She alleges in the complaint that she suspected bottles of alcohol were laced with drugs because women began to fall over themselves, panic, or pass out after just one drink. Apparently, they rented the boat for multiple days. She says on December 28th, she was informed that Christian would be joining the party to record with music producer Rodney Little Rod Jones. That's the producer that's also suing Diddy and allegedly has all those photos and videos. The yacht had a makeshift studio, and that's why Christian was coming aboard. She notes that Christian had been staying on shore at a villa, but often joined his father in the evenings. The woman's suit alleges that he arrived on the yacht already heavily intoxicated and that he paid an inappropriate amount of attention to her. She said Christian pressured her to take shots of tequila that she believes he brought on board. She agreed to take a shot, and she says Christian became aggressive and insisted she drink more. She said she became fearful and began to feel the effect of the tequila, which she, quote, quickly suspected had been spiked. The situation escalated as Christian began to grope her legs, breasts, anus, and vagina. The suit details audio recordings in which it states the woman can be heard declining alcohol, saying she had to leave, and telling Christian Combs to stop touching her with what sounds like kissing noises in the background. NBC notes that they have heard two clips of audio transcribed in the suit purportedly from the night in question, but they have not verified who was recorded. In the recording, the woman can be heard saying, quote, excuse me, you don't touch my legs like that. I'll move my legs where I want to. She says, If I want to do this, then I will. You don't touch my legs like that. Christian insists that she stays with him, but she responds that she can't unless he makes that request to a crew leader. She said she answered this way because she knew anyone of authority who could approve the request would be asleep and Christian would not be able to contact them. He responds, "Who can I talk to? I'm going to say I requested you right now." She said, "Well, you can take your hand off my ass for the first thing." She said she attempted to resume her duties and finish her shift once she was able to leave the studio. She says Christian found her a short time later and insisted she find him a place to sleep. She directed him to the Yacht Cinema, which was used as an extra sleeping area. She says once there, he blocked her in. He allegedly began to grope her and took off his clothes. The lawsuit reads, quote, "His penis was erect and he grabbed her arms and was trying to force plaintiff to perform oral sex on him." The suit includes photos of bruising on the woman's forearm that she alleges was caused when Christian Combs grabbed her. She said she fought him off until someone else walked in. Jesus. She says the alleged assault has had a deep impact on her mental health, as well as her personal and professional lives. She said she complained to her yacht captain the following day, and he didn't believe her and failed to investigate. She says the captain retaliated against her until she was terminated in May 2023. She says her mental health deteriorated and she's had anxiety and panic attacks as well as severe suicidal ideations. She alleges the emotional strain affected her physical health and she developed an eating disorder and epileptic seizures following the assault. This is a civil suit. She is seeking unspecified damages. I don't even know what to say. I'm very shocked. And maybe I shouldn't be. I mean, if his father is guilty of the things that he has been accused of, and Christian has, you know, been up under his daddy, as he should, as the son, been up under his daddy all his life, then this would be behavior that he learned from watching his father. I hope this shit ain't true. I very much fear that it is. The percentage of women who lie about things like this is very, very low. I think it's something like 1%, 3%, something like that. It's not what people like to make it out to be, like, you know, 90% of these bitches are lying. No. To make these sort of accusations, like, you incur the wrath of everyone. And in this case, this woman is making accusations against Diddy, very powerful man, and his son now. This is not going to be a walk in the park for her, and it's no guaranteed payday. Oh, because this comes up every time there's a civil suit, they say, why do people file civil suits? These bitches just want money. Why do they file civil suits instead of criminal suits? Because if it happened to me, we've talked about this 50 million times, I guess we're going to have to keep reiterating it. The burden of proof to prove wrongdoing in a civil suit is much lower than that of a criminal suit. You're more likely to get some sort of justice. If you consider money compensation for mistreatment, assault, the infliction of emotional distress, you're more likely to get something for your pain going civil versus criminal. Does Christian have money? I mean, I assume he's not broke. He's Diddy's kid. But like, to sue Christian, does he have money to pay? Is anything in his name that she could get if she actually wins this lawsuit? It's for an undisclosed sum. But I assume she's not asking for, I don't know, $50,000. I would assume she's trying to go after at least 5 to 10 mil minimum. Does Christian have that? I know his daddy got it. Does he have it? We'll be paying attention to this case very closely. We'll also be paying close attention to a lawsuit by Justin Combs. I saw on social media that Justin's mom, Misa Hylton, that she spoke about this lawsuit. I'm reading about this on USA Today. As we all know, Diddy's homes were raided by Homeland Security, the feds. Most of us saw the footage. There was overhead footage of Christian and Justin in handcuffs outside of the house. Misa posted, I didn't even see this, I'm just reading about it on USA Today. She posted edited video of home surveillance footage showing officials executing their search warrant on March 25th. In the clips, two men presumably Justin and Christian Combs, were detained in a hallway inside the house. It says 30-year-old Justin Combs approaches law enforcement personnel with his hands above his head as Christian Combs is being handcuffed with his chest pressed against the wall. Misa says, quote, "The overzealous and overtly militarized force used against my sons is deplorable. If these were the sons of a non-black celebrity, they would have not been handled with the same aggression. The attempt to humiliate and terrorize these innocent young black men is despicable." She continues, she says, "Did Justin need several laser beams from firearms pointed at his chest? Did Christian need a gun pointed at the back of his head while he was handcuffed? How many times have we seen young, unarmed black men not make it out of these types of situations alive?" Mises claimed that her son, Justin, she also called Christian her son. Christian's not biologically hers. She claims him. Mises says that Justin has hired an attorney who is investigating, quote, "the excessive use of force, which was unnecessary and certainly not required by this search warrant." She also vowed to, quote, "fight for justice, utilizing every imaginable resource." I didn't know all that happened. I mean, nobody knew all that happened because we weren't in a damn house. My understanding of federal raids, and we talked about this on a previous episode, because I have a couple friends that work with federal task forces, is when there's a raid, all adults in the house get handcuffed and usually taken outside. That's just part of the procedure. And when we talked about that previously, it was just to note that just because you see Christian and Justin in handcuffs, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are being, that they've done something wrong or they resisted arrest or like anything happened other than they were adults in the home at the time of a federal raid. That's it. I agree with Misa's assessment about guns being pointed or a gun to the back of Christian's head. That sounds excessive to me. That sounds like more than what's necessary for a raid, especially when you're talking about people who the feds are confronting them and, you know, Justin's got his hands up and Christian's handcuffed. You really need to point a gun at somebody's head while they're handcuffed. So we'll be paying attention to this story too and see what comes of it. USA Today said they reached out to Justin's attorney for comment, but they don't include a comment from the attorney. So I'm going to guess that the attorney didn't respond. There's no comment from his attorney included in the rest of the article.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
There's one more story we could talk about. I thought I could get it into this episode, but I think I'm going to have to hold it until next week. It's 3:38. I got a flight. I got to leave for the airport in a couple hours and I'm still not finished packing. That's kind of important. So I don't know that we'll be able to get to Angel Reese and Emmanuel Acho. We talked about him before. Remember from The Bachelor? When they had the first black bachelor and he picked the white racist girl. And then like the regular host of The Bachelor, I think he got kicked off the show for like, I don't remember why he got kicked off. But they brought in the black man to help clean up their mess. This also might have been around the time that Rachel, maybe she'd done that earlier. Rachel, who was the first black bachelorette, had talked about the amount of racism on the show. So The Bachelor was in hot water, and they brought in Emmanuel Acho, former NFL player, currently a sports analyst. Is he on Fox? Fox Sports, I think. But they brought him in as a black person. They need a black face to help them address some of the race issues and get the heat off them. So Emmanuel Acho is the person that they brought in. At the time, was he already a sports analyst then? At the time, everyone talked about his series. Maybe we are talking about it. We can. I got another 20 minutes. He has a podcast called Uncomfortable Conversations. The uncomfortable conversations that he's best known for are those that he has with white people about race. His work has largely been categorized, especially by black people, as cooning. I have never watched a video of his uncomfortable conversations, nor do I have a desire to. I thought he did fine on The Bachelor. I've never watched him on Fox Sports. I literally did not know this man existed until, and I think this is important to note, until he started dating Molly from Insecure, Yvonne Orji. So this recent kerfluffle that he's been in, I feel like the entire internet has come together like Avengers. Like, people that usually argue have come together to be against him. Me and Matt Barnes both agree about how fucked up Emmanuel Acho was. That's how crazy his commentary was. And we'll get to exactly what that is. But in people being so angry with him about his recent commentary, one of the digs that they keep taking at him is like, that's why Molly left your ass. That's why Yvonne left your ass. Y'all, they broke up 5 years ago. It's not like she just left him 6 months ago and it's fresh. I don't know about him, but she's had other relationships since then. One of them I know about that wasn't made public. That mofo is fine. I don't know what their situation is now, but she showed up to some event to work. He showed up in the green room with her, and two different people who worked on set, one of them a really good friend, hit me up and was like, the tea is spicy and hot. He's one of the people I fawned over. Fine, fine. All right, so let's back this up. For the non-sports fans, of which I am one, everyone and their mother is now watching women's basketball. I am not one of those people. I only really pay attention to sports when things that happen in sports drift over into pop culture or mainstream, which is surprisingly often. But I know at least a bit of backstory about this because it goes back about a year ago. Angel Reese first popped on my radar, and I think I might have done a whole episode dedicated to her when it happened. Angel Reese, basketball player for LSU, talks shit on the court. She used to do this thing. White media keeps saying it's the John Cena, and I was like, no, that's the Tony Yayo. But it's this little hand movement in front of your face, right? So she does this movement, and then she points to her ring finger, indicating that her team is going to get the ring. They're going to beat this other team, and they're going to be champions. The woman that she does it to is a woman named Caitlin Clark, white chick, who also talks shit, who by all accounts is one of the best players in women's basketball. But when Caitlin talks her shit and makes her gestures, no one pays attention to it. It's just considered, oh, athletes doing what athletes do. It's competitive. Athletes talk shit. But when Angel does it, then she's considered like this thug. She's considered aggressive. She should be kicked out the game. All these grown-ass men, sports commentators even, are going at Angel Reese in a way that they don't go after Caitlin Clark, who does the same damn thing. And in fact, Angel Reese being seen doing the John Cena, Tony Yayo pointing to her ring finger is in response to Caitlin Clark talking shit. I don't think it was to her, but talking shit to somebody else. But it's in response to Caitlin Clark being a shit talker. But again, Caitlin doesn't catch heat for it. Angel does. If I recall this correctly, there was a really popular tweet of somebody calling her a thug or unsportsmanlike or something like that. And that's when the conversation about Angel Reese switches from just a sports conversation to a conversation that enters pop culture and entertainment. Obviously, I jump in to defend Angel Reese because as a black woman, I know exactly what that feels like. Every black woman's had that experience where it's like you see your white coworkers or your white classmates do something and it's not a big deal. And then you do it and you're sent to the principal's office or you're reprimanded by your job. And you're like, wait, y'all don't see them doing this shit all the time? Why is it a problem for me when it's not a problem for them? We talk about this in terms of cultural appropriation as well. Why is it when white girls do it, it's cute, it's trendy, it's fun, it's the cover of a magazine. When I do it, it's some hood shit, huh? So Angel Reese, and specifically her experience as a Black woman experiencing this double standard, becomes a national conversation. Black women jump in to defend her. The conversation still continues until somebody finally interviews Caitlin Clark and was like, how do you feel about Angel Reese talking shit to you and making these gestures? Like, what do you think about it? And Caitlin Clark is real like, we're athletes. We talk shit. It's part of the game. And then all of a sudden, the story goes away. But because of this scenario, Angel Reese becomes extremely popular very quickly. She is portrayed in some spaces of media as this villain for being this shit talker, for being someone who makes these gestures on the court, for being an aggressive player. It's women's basketball. They all aggressive. It's an aggressive sport. They're not hitting each other like football, but these are not. The LA Times, I believe, referred to the players as debutantes. They are not. They are athletes. They get physical. But Angel Reese is portrayed as this villain. I think it's important to be clear because the villain thing comes up later. Angel Reese's portrayal of herself, the way that she crafted her brand, the way she wanted to be seen and presented, was as Bayou Barbie. You will not see Angel Reese without some hair flowing down her back, usually some big hair. She always got her lashes on. In the pictures that she displays on her Instagram page, she's shown wearing a tiara. She wants you to know that, yes, that she's a basketball player, but also she is a very feminine, pink, sexy type woman. Okay. LSU and Iowa faced off in the championships last year, and LSU, Angel Reese's team, won. Her doing the yayo thing and then pointing to her ring finger, she talked her shit and she backed it up. Fast forward a year later, that's how we get to the most recent controversy. LSU and Iowa face off again. This time, LSU loses. And worthy to mention, it wasn't by a landslide. It was 94-87, Iowa. Angel Reese is a graduating senior. This is the last game of her career. I didn't watch the game. I read that she filed out, so she didn't even get to play the whole time. She feels a way about that, which I think most people would. And not just 21-year-old women, grown-ass men. We've seen grown-ass men in the NBA cry after they lose a championship game, after they lose a playoff game. And there's nothing wrong with that. People invest, as they should. There's a lot on the line into winning. And it's not just athletes. Anybody who applies themselves to do something good and worthy wants to win. And when that doesn't happen, that shit hurts. It doesn't mean you're a sore loser because you're crying. You're just hurt. You're disappointed. And that's okay. LSU, Angel Reese, some of her teammates, Flajay Johnson, and there's a white girl, Haley. Haley about that life. I saw an interview from Haley defending her teammates. We'll talk about that another day. But they're all doing this press conference with their coach post-game. And Angel is sniffing back tears the whole press conference. She's not wailing. She's not hysterical. Because if you read reports about this press conference and her crying, you would think that the woman was like having a full meltdown tantrum. She sniffs a lot. There are tears rolling and then she wipes them. And when they ask her questions, she pulls it together and she's coherent. Like her voice isn't cracking. She's not bawling on the mic. She hasn't put her head down on the table. It's a very dignified situation. So they're at this press conference and I watched the press conference. I'm not sure that everybody, even professionals giving commentary on this, watched the press conference. It's on YouTube. The reporters are asking the women questions. They're taking the L, literally and verbally, in this press conference. They take full accountability. They ask them what went wrong. They talk about what happened in the third quarter. They talk about small mistakes. They talk about a need to communicate better. They talk about a need to overall do better. I'm literally reading from the notes that I took from the press conference. Multiple times, Flajay says, we got to be better. We got outscored in the third quarter. They talk about what an amazing player Caitlin is, and they said they just couldn't pull it together. A reporter asks Flajay and Hallie something like what it's like to work with Angel. What is she like as a leader on the team? Flajay goes in. She starts singing her girls' praises. It's very clear that they're not just teammates, but they're more like sisters. She literally says, this is my sister. But she says that the crown that Angel wears is heavy. She talks about the media calling her a villain. She talks about how Angel's dedication and work ethic and the way that she plays. Flajay is a sophomore. Angel's a senior, as I just said. She talks about how Angel makes her a better player. She's very, what's the correct word? Not elaborate. The word is escaping me. But she's very fawning without being a kiss ass in her response. You can tell that she and Angel have really a close relationship. Angel starts sniffing more as Flage saying these positive things about her. And I point that out because when the waterworks really start, isn't about the loss. It's when Flage speaks positively about her. And I would say she probably feels seen in a way that she hasn't felt in a while, which comes up later. Haley, the white girl, also speaks up and she talks about how much shit Angel takes. And despite that, she still holds up and she still shows up. And then she addresses the room and she said, you know, you think that you can say all these terrible things about her. You can attack her and you're going to break her and it's not going to happen. So just give up. She's in full guard mode, I would say, about Angel. Angel's sniffing more. The press conference continues. There's a whole bunch of different questions directed to both Angel and Flage and Hallie. And then there's a reporter. She sounds like she's black. I rewatched the YouTube video a couple times. I couldn't catch her name. I did hear very specifically that she works for CBS Sports. The reporter from CBS Sports, this sounds black. She follows up, and this is 4 or 5 questions later. She says, Angel, what was going through your head when your teammates spoke positively about you and stood up for you? And that, when Angel's asked, it's not like she just stood up in the press conference and was like, I got some shit to get off my chest. She is specifically asked the question about what was going through her head when her teammates stand up for her. And that's when the clip that's circulating all over social media, when she talks about what she's been going through, that's when it comes up after someone asks. She acknowledges that her team has been down for her. She says Baltimore has been down for her. Her family has been down for her. And she says, still, it's really hard of what I've been going through ever since LSU won the championship last year. And then she goes into detail. She says, I've been threatened. She's like, I have death threats. I've been sexualized. She's not just talking about bullshit articles like the LA Times referring to them as dirty debutantes. Like, it's more than that. The girl is talking about death threats. Whether you think she's a villain or not, is this something she deserves? No, but for whatever reason, nobody's talking about the death threats. Who is sending death threats to Angel Reese? And that's not a rhetorical question. Answer the question. She says, so many things have happened to me and I've stood strong every single time. And then she talks about for the last year, again, since LSU won over Iowa, she was like, I haven't had a day of peace since then, and it sucks. She follows this up. This is the clip that I haven't seen circulating. She talks about this awful part of the experience. And then she says, I'm always going to unapologetically be me. And then she offers a message to the young girls who are watching her and the LSU women play. And she says, essentially, always keep going, believe in yourself, and be confident. I haven't seen that clip anywhere. What I have seen is Emmanuel Acho. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. He addresses Angel Reese and he says, you can't be the big bad wolf and then kind of cry like Courage the Cowardly Dog. Nobody mourns when the villain catches an L. And Angel Reese, you're self-proclaimed to be the villain. Shout out to you because you were the second best basketball player on the court against Iowa and it was not close. Is he talking about the score or in terms of Caitlin versus Angel? Because the score was actually close and Angel and LSU beat that same team last year by a significant margin. The sports folks can battle it out between who's better between Caitlin and Angel. This is not one of those situations where someone is far superior and someone is far inferior. That it's not that. He continues, you can't, under any circumstances, go to the podium and now try to ask for individuals to give you sympathy. Nobody has sympathy for the villain. You painted the bullseye on your back. Why are you surprised when people shoot at you? Reading this, and I'm reading it on Yahoo Sports, this is actually the first time I've seen the quote about you painted the bullseye on your back. Why are you surprised when people shoot at you? Who makes like shooting metaphors to black people? Even another black person. Like you think a shooting metaphor is appropriate with black people? Sir. Also, I'm trying to understand as a grown-ass person, even if you think Angel Reese is a villain, and he says that she's declared herself a villain, I had to look that up. The only reference I can find of her referring to herself as a villain, she did an interview with ESPN on March 31st, 2024. She was asked about her trash talking on the court, and particularly how it related to what happened last year with the Yayo thing and the ring pointing and Caitlin Clark and that whole hullabaloo. Angel said, "I don't think people realize it's not personal. Once we get out between those lines, if I see you walking down the street, then it's like, hey girl, what's up? Let's hang out. I think people just take it like we, as in her and Caitlin, hate each other." She says, "We don't. I want everyone to understand that. It's just a super competitive game. Once I get between those lines, there's no friend. I'm going to trash talk you. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get in your head the whole entire game. But after the game, we can kick it. I don't think people really realize that." And this is when she addresses the villain thing. She continues. She says, "It's fine. I'll take the villain role. I'll take the hit for it. But I know we're growing women's basketball. If this is the way we're going to do it, then this is the way we're going to do it. You either like it or you don't." She's not declaring herself as the villain. She's saying, "I'll take it because that's what you're putting on me." It goes back to what she said in the press conference after the championship. She's committed to being who she is. If people think that that makes her a villain, then so be it. But she's not going to change. I don't hear her in the context of this interview declaring that she's a villain. She says, "If that's what you're going to call me, I'll take it." Also, what can she really do about it? Like, change? She doesn't want to. And what she's doing isn't anything other players, male and female, college, professional, high school, JV, aren't doing. Athletes talk shit. Why is she? Well, we know why. Because she's black. That's it. Well, she's black and a woman. She's getting that double hit. But for Emmanuel Acho to latch on to this villain thing, which she's never declared herself. Again, what she declared for herself is, "I am Bayou Barbie. I am prissy. I am pink. I wear tiaras. I wear lashes. I wear this flowing hair. I do string bikinis, spandex dresses, and stiletto heels." That's who she presented herself to be. She can't help that people keep calling her a villain. For Emmanuel Acho, as a black man in America, Nigerian American or otherwise, to not understand what's happened to her, the labels that have been pressed upon her, to take the labels that largely white folks have given her, assign that to her, and then attack her for it after she's in tears at a press conference talking about death threats is just fucking dumb. He's an idiot. I don't understand how you watch that press conference and your takeaway is to zero in on this portion of what Angel Reese said. I don't understand how the death threats are not the issue. I don't understand how everyone overlooked that. I don't understand how he in particular overlooked that in order to focus on like, oh, now you're trying to get sympathy. She didn't show up to the press conference and being like, "I'd like to read this statement." She was asked a question. Her teammates talked about how strong she is, leadership that she is, the stuff that she goes through, and she still stands strong. The question wasn't directed to her, and she didn't pipe in and say, "Hey, I'd like to answer that." A reporter followed up 4 or 5 questions later and was like, "Hey, Angel, can you address what your teammates said? What has this experience been like for you?" She gave the negatives, and then she offered some inspiration to the young girls who were watching LSU play. Come the fuck on, my dude. Come the fuck on. You know the word I want to drop, and he deserves it. I'm trying to say it less. It's not Too Short's favorite word. It's my favorite word. I drop it at least once per episode because somebody needs to be called it. He also addressed Angel saying, if you want to act grown, which she has, because she is. She's 21 years old. I mean, she might be fresh grown, but she's grown. He said, if you want to get paid like you're grown, which you are. If you want to talk to grown folks like you're grown, which you did, because she is. The fuck? Then post-game, when you take an L, you've just got to take it on the chin. Which she did. Sir, you get paid. You get paid to analyze sports. Did you not watch the entire press conference? She and her teammates took the L. I just read to you their commentary on what went wrong in the game that they talked about the third quarter and communication and making simple mistakes that added up over time. I heard it. Because I watched the press conference. Did he? And if you didn't, why not? Especially if you have all this bass in your voice commentary. Like, when you decide to go in on somebody, you need to make sure that you're actually going in on them for the right reasons. Otherwise, you sound like an ass, which he does. Oh, there's more. I'm sorry. How long does this conversation go on? This part is what I posted on social media yesterday. This nigga took so many L's. He there just slipped out. This nigga just said so much dumb, nonsensical shit all at the same time. He says, Black women have historically been the most marginalized group in America, but I'm going to give a gender neutral and racially indifferent take. How you acknowledge accurately, this is the only part that he got right. Black women have historically been the most marginalized group in America. Yes. You acknowledge that. You say it out loud, like the words came out of your mouth. And then you proceed to go in on a Black woman. Hey, Angel, you are part of what historically has been the most marginalized group of people in America. Also, I'm going to compare you to a dog. I'm going to question your adulthood. And then I'm going to make references to Black people getting shot. Nigga. He uploaded this video this morning. There's no apology. There's no walking back his words. He just acknowledges a list of people that he appreciated for quote and unquote respectfully saying what he did wrong. Somebody take this Black man's internet, turn off his Wi-Fi, change the password so he can't get in until he's ready to upload an apology. You uploaded this shit for what? The only thing we needed to hear you say is, yesterday, during my segment, I said some dumb shit. After speaking to the list of people that he named in this non-apology that he already posted, I realized the error of my ways. I should have chosen my words and my focus more carefully. In speaking about Angel Reese, I should have offered concern and compassion, and I should have denounced the people who are sending her death threats. That's where my focus should have been, and I make no excuses for my stupidity. I'm sorry, Angel. I should not have said that. I will do better going forward. Is it that hard, nigga? Is it that hard? That's why Yvonne left your ass. All right, it's 4:42. I have to go. I must go. I've got to finish packing. My host is coming to check the apartment at 6:30. My driver is coming at 7. I've got to get out of this apartment and out of this country. So, I don't know when this episode's gonna go up. I'm gonna try to edit when I'm in the lounge and on the plane. Hopefully I can post before my plane takes off. Otherwise, I'll have to do it from Nairobi. So, that's it for today's episode. And we'll talk soon. Okay, bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.